and spoken about some other things as well. And I believe this morning he's going to be speaking on justification. So I'm looking forward to that. Brother, thank you so much for being a blessing to us. I'll turn it over to you. And then starting next week, Brother Jordan will be bringing some several Sunday school lessons in this class. All right, brother, it's all yours. You got a
mic? You're good. All right. I even think I'm on now. How about that? Did everybody get a handout that wants one? If not, I got a couple right here, but there's Don's back there with some. You got yours? Okay. I'll just take care of that. What a blessing to have Brother John pray. I wish I could pray like that. He remembers everything. Mr. Rell, I try to, too, but then I can't read my own writing. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Looking forward to today, what we have. Oh, and it's up there. I'm just going to make sure it works. Oh, I got to turn it on. There we go. There we go. Maybe that needs to come out a little bit, the receiver, stick it out a little bit. There we go. Thank you. All right, the text today is in Philippians, and we're going to be talking about justification. I'm cheating here a little bit. I'm working on some messages. We've got our visas for Cuba. We'll be leaving Hayden February 15th, and then from Nashville, we'll be flying out to Cuba. And we got 9 full days of messages and soul winning, so I'm looking forward to that. We got a team of 4. One had to drop out because the dates had to change, but God's got everything under control. He decided that this is the way we're going to do it, and that's the way we're going to do it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, you're what a blessing you are to us. You've given us this building. You've given us your Son. You've given us great blessings. Everything that's good in our life has come from you, and we appreciate that. We want to now look at some familiar topic. And I just ask that you would bless it. I pray that I would follow your word and that I would stay out of the way and that your Holy Spirit would have your way today, not only in this class, in all the classes and all this day. And we're thankful that God within us lives and guides us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. As you see, we're going to be in Philippians 3 through 9. I'm going to skip through some of them. I may not get to all of them. There's a lot here, and I like to stay on time, but I'll at least flip up the answers if I can. But in Philippians 3, you see that I wrote that wrong on there. Did I write it right up there? I did. I left out the chapter 3. I even put it in here, and isn't it something you notice it when you get up here? Anyway, this section is talking about Paul's change in his life. He was Saul of Tarsus at one time. And when Christ comes into our life, everything changes. Amen. In this case, even his name changed. Some people could say that. How come you're WT? Well, my name changed when I got saved. Well, anyway, we see that not only is there a change in name, a change in way, there's a change in our heart. God is able to work in our hearts. And through time, though, this is going to be a familiar topic, through the time, our hearts can be hardened by troubles, by distractions, by cares. So we need to always be ready to allow the Lord to refresh us and bring us closer to Him. That we are saved, as I said, there's big changes in our life. And Jesus said it this way. He said there's something to rejoice about in Luke 10:20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Amen. What a great thing. All right, so number one, adherence to the commandments. I'm going to read those verses now. 3:3-6. For we are circumcised, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, as a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now, if anybody had an opportunity to brag, and that would be Paul. I mean, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I'm sure we know we can't get to heaven by keeping the law. The law is a good thing if it's looked at the right way as a moral guidance, but it doesn't get us into heaven. And I bet you he did better at keeping the law than any of us could, because he was a zealous person, even then when he was wrong. John 11, 25, if we can turn to that. I get such clumsy fingers here. 11:25. Make sure I get to the right one. There we go. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, he is alive. 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That's the big question. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that? So many people, and I always like to tell them when I have an opportunity to share Christ with them, I like to tell them it's not the prayer that saves you unless it comes from the heart. You have to believe it in your heart. You can say lots of words. We've seen politicians take oath and say lots of words, and they didn't mean a single one of them. And we've seen politicians that took the oath and meant every word of it. So we can be thankful. So that's the difference right there. We're all born with a sinful heart from the very beginning because of Adam and Eve way back in the garden. It's in us. You don't have to teach a newborn how to cry, how to be mischief, how to take things off the shelf, how to break things, how to manipulate. It just comes naturally. But it takes Jesus Christ and his love for us to change us for the good. Isaiah 64, 6 and 7. But we are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. You know, Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We can look good on the outside. We can do our best. We can clean up. And as I mentioned before, it takes the Holy Spirit to really let us look at WT the way God sees him. I can put on a great front. We all can put on a great front and look good. But that's not what counts, because Romans 3:23, we all know that, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. I mean, now, later in life, maybe a lot of our sins are not what we do. Maybe it's more like what we don't do when we should do. That's something to think about. So, what happens is we become an institute. Paul appears oppressive. How did I get down there already? Okay. Paul appears impressive on the outside. I was just behind in my lessons there. But anyway, appreciate it. But number two is the institution. There we go. The institution of rituals. That's in verse 5 and 8. I'm going to read that again just to refresh our mind. 3:5 says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, as a Hebrew of Hebrews, not touching the law, a Pharisee. And 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of thy knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, of whom I am suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may be with Christ. That's a big change. You know, on the road to Damascus, Paul met the Lord. He was persecuting the Christians. I've read different numbers of the thousands he probably had jailed, some he had killed, and we all have a testament of what he did with Stephen. He held their coats. They put him at their feet as they were stoned. He was a zealous man. He was committed to what he was committed to. He followed them. The Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees is an interesting thing. They added over 600, I've read, laws to what God had put for them to follow. They were in charge. They knew what to do. They had an institution of ritual. We can all, even as Baptists, can have a ritual. That's the reason I always like to think, I go to different churches, and as I've traveled through my life, there's a philosophy of the church. Now, that's up to the pastor. And just because it's different, I think it's good, because they have a way that they're going to do it, and God's leading them. I mean, we all stick to the Bible, the rules. There's basics, the fundamentals, and the distinctive Baptist doctrine that we stick to. But the way the church flows and the way the services flow is up to their pastor. And that's good, because when we get out of the ritual, sometimes even here, if pastors should change the way things go, oh, we've got a missionary here or a preacher that's going to preach, so we're going to skip this and we're going to move into that to give them time. You know, do we get upset? Are we worried? You know, like, this is not the way it's supposed to be done. That's not the way we should be. The hardest thing we can do in our walk with Christ is abandon our previous trust in the way things go. As I just explained, we were supposed to leave in March to go to Cuba. It was all set. We had plenty of time, but things came up. We had to move it forward because Ernesto, things were set in motion. Ernesto has to be in America here because he's going to go to some churches. He's the church planner there in Cuba, the one that organizes and has the institute and helps us meet with the different churches and sets things up for us. But he had to be here. So we had to move everything up. And, you know, at first they go, how can we do that? We got all that preaching to do and everything to do, and other people work and I work, and how's this going to work out? God, it's up to you. And yet, as I said, it did work out. So we have to remain flexible. Let's go to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians 2. There we go. Chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. I don't know why the page is sticking. There we go. All right. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Isn't that marvelous? And verse 9. Not works, lest any man should boast. We can't boast of our salvation. There's nothing we did or can do to deserve it. We're justified the minute we accept the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. And that's when great things happen. I know great things happen to me. I'm probably a little slower than most of you. God has and still is working on me a lot. He had to take away some things. I mean, the first thing he started with me is my mouth cleared up. And you know what? When that happens, sometimes it's hard to talk. And so you had to overcome that, but that was great. But he is working on me and has been working on me, and I'm so excited. I'm really excited. I can rejoice that he's not done with me. He's given a spring in my step. He's given me a love for him that I've never had, and I find it more and more every day. I'm so thankful for Pastor, for he, some time ago, he said, you know, would I do Sunday school? And he says, it's Thanksgiving, you know, if the Holy Spirit tells you to go a different way, but maybe you could focus on that. I am so glad he did that. It opened up such new doors as I really studied the being thankful. And it led me to, why don't I have the joy? Why don't I always rejoice in the Lord? Now, I know there's sometimes we're sick, and sometimes we got aches and things that hurt, and sometimes you're really busy and you wish, you know, things were different. But if you stop and be thankful that you have these things, that God put them in WT's and ours life for a reason. And we can be so thankful for that. So, we see that Paul has now gotten rid of his name. He's calling it dung. It's nothing. All of these works, all of this schooling that he's got, because now he has Christ. You know, he had a Would you change the next one? It's not, for some reason, it's not going. Put it on C, please. Yeah. Well, anyway. Chris, can you turn that? Oh, you're trying, huh? Because it won't work from here. There we go. 5 and 6, we're still there. So we know we are born with a sin nature. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And we know Romans 7:18, the first part, "For I know that in me, that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." We can try to reform. We can try to turn over a new leaf. And you know, in Psalm 1, it talks about the tree that's planted by the rivers of water, and his leaf shall flourish. I always think of the leaf as a testimony. And so we can try to turn over our testimony or our leaf, but you know, the leaf can wither if we're not in the Word of God, if we're not trusting him. As Paul had so much of the Word of God, I can have so much. Pastor can have so much of the Word of God, but if we don't allow it to work in us, it's not going to work in us. I mean, you can't get any simpler than that. So we got to allow the Word of God to work on us. We can't reform ourselves, so we'll go back because of that sin nature. It's always, I'm sorry, the longer you've been a Christian, I used to think, well, I'm going to church. I've been saved for 40-plus years, and I shouldn't be having any trouble anymore. I shouldn't be having that fight anymore. But, you know, as soon as I say that, I'll be standing in the grocery line, and I'll think the wrong thing. I'll look at the wrong magazine, and my mind goes off. And it's a fight. And I would keep thinking, I want it to be easy. And I know this is not sweet words to say, but I don't think it's going to be any easier for you. It's going to be a fight till we take our last breath. You know it. And we got to stay strong and we got to stand. And that's what church does so good. And that's why it's so important to be in the right church, trusting the right thing. Not our rituals, not in the law. And I'm not putting down the law. I'm not going to, well, we're in grace. We can do anything we want. That Paul didn't do that. He still had the law and the word in him, but he knew it was not for salvation. It guides us, it directs us, it keeps us out of trouble, and it keeps our family out of trouble, especially if we're raising children. I love doing it. Yeah. I know Candy just had the new grandbaby, and I'm so excited about babies, and I love my grandbabies, and I got little Warren. He's just 6 months now, and he's starting to recognize me. And there's something about, you know, you're just a grandpa and you see him once in a while and you walk into the door and they have their hands out and they're smiling at you. But you know, that's the same thing God wants to do to us. In the morning, in the evening, whenever you study him, when you're at church, he's got his arms open. He had his arms open all the time, even when he died on the cross. He wants us to come to him. He loves us. He wants to refresh us. He wants to give us something to rejoice about. Galatians 3, 1 and 5. But you know, this is a time that we got to be careful. As I said, the fight continues to go on. It says, "Oh, foolish Galatians." We don't want to be like the church in Galatia. "Who has bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Rejoice ye in the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" It's so easy for us to try to be perfect by the flesh. We have to, as I said, that's part of the battle. "Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Don't fall into condemnation, my friends, by turning back to your flesh. It's so easy for guys, especially for me, say, I've done this, I can do that, I can fix that car, I can take care of this landscape area, I can do that, but I need to not rely on me. I need to rely on the Spirit and know that I can do that only because of God,
amen.
Only because of his guiding. It's the only reason I opened my eyes up this morning to come here. I thought about not coming, but then I remembered I had to do something. Okay, let's go to John 3:12. Gospel of John 3:12. I'm working on a message, I think. We're supposed to, I'm hoping Pastor will do it, Pastor Bill Adams, when we go to Cuba. There's a pastor and wives from the other eight churches. They're going to travel there for a message. I hope he does it, but in case he doesn't, I'm working on one that's strong men and on 1 John 2, just in case. You got to be careful when you go on. You got to have some thoughts because you don't know what's going to happen. You think it's going one way, trying to work it out, but we're going back and forth. But I'm rambling. Okay, 3:12 and 13. There it is. I have told you earthly things, and you believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Our God is sitting in heaven. At his throne, at his right hand, is our Savior, Jesus Christ. He prays and makes intercessions for us. Remember when he talked to Peter, he said, Satan wishes to sift you, but I have prayed for you. And Satan wants to bring us down. If the flesh doesn't do it, you know, if we're walking in the flesh, Satan, I'll just leave them alone. They're going to do it themselves. But if not him or his fallen angels begin to work on us. There's every time I knock on a door, when the soul winning, when I go to Cuba and we walk into the house, there's a little voice sometimes that just gets in my head that says, it's not going to work this time. You're going to fail miserably. These people don't want to hear it. And then you walk in, and they've been witnessed to before, and they'll go, yeah, glad you're here, American. They're very polite people, but I'm not going to church. And you go, oh, he's right. And then I go, you know what? I'm not here to get you to go to church. Let me tell you a story. And we sit down, and we start going, and they listen. And you have to go slow there. It's like being in the South because they see Americans go in the house. We're not allowed to go to house. We have to be invited to a house. So the different pastors and the people of the different churches talk to people that they've been witnessing to. And I believe most of the time they've been trying to just get them to come to church. That's why they say, no, we're not coming to church. I always close it, though, with now that you're a part of the family of God, you've got more family waiting for you at church. They'd love to see you tonight because we always have a service that night after the evangelism. But I tell you that you go slow because they see the Americans come, and the windows are usually open. Some houses are different. They have, you know, sheets for curtains, and there's no glass in there. Before you know it, you'll see the hands, and everybody's around you listening to the story. So you always want to have an opportunity to tell the story. We went one place years ago, and there was this lady who had cancer, and the daughter wanted us to come. They asked me to go, and an interpreter, because I don't speak. So we went, and I'm witnessing to her, and I went through everything. Took a good 40 minutes, and I said, would you like to accept the Lord? Have you ever verbally asked him? Oh, yeah, I've done that. I said, what? But then I looked, and around the corner was her daughter with tears coming down her eyes. That's why I was there. We never know why we're there. So I invited her around and talked to her, and she's the one that the Lord wanted to get saved. And she still had a heart. She wanted her mom saved, but she didn't know the story herself. Now, we're talking about all of this. We've all heard these verses. We all know the old, old story. We should love to tell the old, old story because we don't know who's listening.
Yeah.
And we don't know what. It's not us, as I said. It's not our flesh. It's the Holy Spirit moving. All we have to do is be a willing vessel just to open our mouth. Why? It's not a choice. It is a choice. I said it backwards. It is a choice, not a chance. When we are justified, when we're saved, we have to make a choice. It's the same thing every day. We have to make a choice to get up. I in the morning, but whenever you do it, if I don't take care of it in the morning, sometimes it doesn't happen. We have to make a choice to meet with Jesus. We have to open this book up. We have to be quiet for a little bit. You know, one of the things you would think, well, I got to teach today and I had to work on this lesson, that I'd want to get up and I need to really work on that. No, what I need is more of this before I do that. And it's one of the hardest things. I don't know if anybody else struggles with it, but it's your reading time and you start thinking about what you're going to preach or teach, and it's a fight. No, I need you first. I need to be right with you to be able to do that. All right, I'm going to close up now. We're getting down there. There's some more verses to cover there. I ask you to please read them yourself. Let the Lord work on you. But 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Passed away, gone. Behold, all things are become new. We can become a new creature even though we're already saved. We've already trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Every morning we have an opportunity to start fresh with him. And I guarantee you, and I think there are many testimonies here that'll make your whole day better. Now, I know I've had days where I've rushed through the reading. That's the reason I explained before. I've changed it up. And I had forgotten that in chronological, most people believe after Genesis comes Job. And that's the way this chronological Bible goes. So it's very interesting. It's changed my thinking, and it's done marvelous. So if you have a Bible reading plan and it works for you, great. If it's getting a little old or fresh, it's not God that's changed, it's you. So if you need it to be refreshed, maybe try a different type of Bible reading plan. Philippians 2:3, the chapter before. Let nothing be done through strife, or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. You know what a great church that would make? If I look at every one of you and I think how much better you are than me. And maybe I should tell you that. I know there's a guy that just started working at the Union Gospel Mission, and it's hard at first. On the dock, you have to sort things, and you have to tell people, well, we can't take that because we're full, or we don't never take that, and it's tough. And he keeps going, I said, man, you're doing better than me. And that's the truth, he is. But you can just tell in his spirit, really? You think so? I don't think so. Yeah, you are. You're doing better than me. Just keep at it. And that's what we can do with each other on our Christian walk. You're doing good. Keep at it. Give them applause. Give them thanks. And remember, it's praise, not flattery. But I thank you. I'm glad I had the opportunity to do this. I'm going to end up on time. I always love to do that. And because it's not what I have written down. I have a whole bunch more. But it's what God wants us to say. I think Pastor feels the same way. John feels the same way when they're preaching. Said, I've got an outline here, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit lead. So I thank you all, and I appreciate you all of your prayers. When we go to Cuba and all of that, keep us in prayer. Only way I can communicate is when I'm in Wi-Fi, and that's scarce, but I'll keep in touch the best way I can. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, what a blessing you are. Thank you for your word, and thank you for your justification. And I know that as I was thinking about this, I thought of sanctification. And that's a process that keeps going on and on and on. And I'm glad that you have not left any of us, and especially me. You're continuing to sanctify us and bring her closer to you. We look forward to the service and all that takes place, the preaching your word, the singing. We ask you to be with all the different classes, and we just pray a blessing upon the rest of the day. And I just can't say enough how thankful I am for your word and the opportunity to be here. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen.